Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
And we are back with another phenomenal episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, positive, and powerful in their impact and their leadership. I am so delighted today to bring you a very special guest. I'm going to read his formal information for you first, and then I'm going to share a little bit about how I know him, and then we're going to dive right in to our exciting interview. So Sachin Raja is known as the private transformational mentor, advisor, and confidant to the powerful and influential. He's a remarkable living synthesis of Eastern wisdom and Western practicality. Sachin combines the power of the warrior and the wisdom of the sage to inspire audiences and leaders worldwide to live their highest impact and personal fulfillment. Having invested 35 years of rigorous study and practice in both creating enlightened business growth and developing higher consciousness, he is the leading authority on expanding success while serving the greater good without sacrificing the joys of personal life. And we're going to dive into that for sure. Sachin has impacted over 100,000 students from over 50 countries around the world through his global human potential company, Warrior Sage. He leads private one-on-one retreats for CEOs, high-impact individuals, executive teams, and is a corporate cultural advisor and trainer for elite companies. His fearless and heartfelt style transforms your limitations into strengths and your life into peak existence. So I want to give a little bit of background about how I know you. And that is, you first came on my radar, Sachin, when I started to get involved in the online scene way back in 2009. And I was a guest on News for the Soul, and there you were. And so I was super inspired by who you were then, and even more inspired by how you have evolved and grown and expanded your influence and your impact over the years. So thank you so much for being here and welcome to the show.
I'm really happy to be here. It's great seeing you and your light and your brightness and your wisdom. Looking forward to jam here.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So I actually got the pleasure of meeting you in person in Boulder, Colorado at an event called, remind me again, what was the name?
2.0
yeah. Success 2.0 or 3.0, something like that. And I had the pleasure of rolling around on the floor with you and your beautiful wife, and we co-created and collaborated together to create a beautiful event with all of the attendees there. So I love meeting people in person who I have connected with online and really getting the opportunity to see the embodied version of yourself. So that was super fun as well. Let's dive in today, Sachin, because, you know, you've really been in this leadership space around human potential and evolution and spirituality for men in particular and consciousness for many, many years. And I want to begin our time together by just first really honoring and appreciating deeply your commitment and your devotion and your courage and your willingness to stand in that space for so many years. And I'd love to have you tell us a little bit about how you got initiated to that path.
When I was young, raised by Indian parents, East Indian parents in Canada, I was born in Uganda, Africa. They emigrated to Canada. And very typical, very loving Indian parents, they wanted me to go to school and become a traditional professional, as many Indian young folks do, for all the good reasons. And I would have nothing of it. I had a different calling inside. And I saw Bruce Lee, Kwai Chan Kane on this TV show, Kung Fu, and Bruce Lee movies. And as a youngster, I went head over heels. I felt, wow, that's the life I want as a spiritual martial artist, as a sage, as a someone who's learning these spiritual martial traditions. And I was very blessed to find, as, you know, it was a miraculous finding, but I found a master in a school that really conveyed not only the martial aspect, but this whole inner terrain development, the whole wisdom and spiritual development of the consciousness that I needed to match the power that was happening through the martial arts. So I had these brilliant, profound, loving mentors growing up, and that whole martial tradition led me to further study and further development with what I consider many great masters of this planet, many of them really outside of the box. So I went on a quest for enlightenment, a quest to realize what actually works. It's always been my passion to find out, not only does it sound good, but does it actually work? Do these philosophical, spiritual principles have actual real life teeth? Can they be translated and work? And because I came from martial arts, the pragmatic side to me was very valuable. So I've been on this path for many years, 35 years or so, and I've immersed myself into studying and synthesizing what I consider the cutting edge methods, philosophies that create great depth and forward movement, but from the heart and soul. That's been my core. So that's brought me to many adventures, and here we are today.
That's created the man on purpose that you are. So I want to talk a little bit more about getting the calling when you were so young, like having that level of clarity at such a young age, because for me personally, I had my own spiritual awakening when I was in my late 30s. So I had a whole foundation and life that had been kind of set to conform. I went down the conforming path, and then I had a spiritual awakening halfway through my life. And I think that happens for many people, is they become so immersed in the cultural conditioning or the societal or familial or even ancestral conditioning that they don't really get the calling until some kind of crisis happens or sometime much later in life. So there are people, though, like yourself, and it's a rare thing, that have the strength and the capacity to say, hey, I'm called in a different direction, and to pursue that calling. So I'd love to have you speak to those men in our audience who might be younger men, who might be like really rebelling against the expectations. Yes. And talk a little bit about that process for you and how you had the courage, like really had the courage to say, yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
That's a big one, because I have a very strong, loving Indian family, many of them. And in the Indian culture, you follow along what they want you to do, for good reasons, of course, like we talked about. I think for me, what it was there was a part of me that just didn't feel the realness of the standard status quo world. I didn't have words for it as a teenager, but I just knew it was not my world. I knew that it was shallower than I wanted to live. It was more superficial than I wanted to live. And because I was inspired by these great leaders, you know, Bruce Lee and these icons I had as a young man, I saw and I read about their biographies and movies about them and magazines, and I saw that they did what they really felt was true in their life, what they had to do outside of the status quo. And I really believe it was the inspiration and reading that, hey, they actually did it. They actually grew and they actually created and carved a life of their own joy, their own passion, their own truth, regardless of the societal pressures around them. So I felt that that was there, you know, the inspiration that if they can do it, I can do it too. And so I told my parents, I want to do that. And they were like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? And in this particular situation, it was like, I had to. And I think there's a part in our life where we just have to do what we have to do. And if we're not doing it, we create more suffering. So when I kept delaying the diving into what I knew was in my soul, in my even the spark of it, can I do it? All the doubts arise. All the doubts came up. But I had to stick to that glimmer because others did it. And if they could do it, I knew I could do it. So that's what I want to encourage everyone listening here. If you have a spark of purpose, a spark of intention, even a little bit of clarity on what would awaken your purpose to the next degree, what would challenge you to live at an edge, your edge, more than you are now, push your comfort zone, push your status quo zones even beyond, I say go for it, full-heartedly, without reservation. Yes, there'll be a lot to risk. Yes, there's everything to risk. But in that risk, there's an emancipation. There's a freedom that you did it. Even if you don't have the success you want, even if it falls flat, you'll get up again because you took the opportunity, the chance, the risk. So I think that's the key. It's the risk to go beyond the status quo, to feel what is true within me, and to be loyal to that. Whereas everything else is trying to get your loyalty. Everything else wants you to be loyal to them. It's the loyalty to the self, not out of ego, not out of, hey, I'm being loyal to me. It's loyalty to that power, loyalty to what is living you already, what wants to be birthed, what wants to be pulled forth and drawn forth. Loyalty is the key.
Hmm. Beautiful. I love that. And you did say the word clarity also. So one of the marks of a man on purpose in my mind is clarity. And I'd like to talk to you now about when you are working with the world changers that you work with, and also when you are doing your own world changing work. You've said the word feel multiple times, but I'm going to ask, and I'm guessing that the answer is going to be the same, but how is it that you know? Like, what's the signal that you know what it is that you either want to change or create in the world? Like, is it a bodily signal for you? Is it a spark? Tell our men more about how they can identify within themselves, or at least how you do, and maybe it will match for them when it, this is it, you know, I'm clear, this is the direction I'm going.
Okay, that's a great question, and I'm going to give an inquiry to take on, okay? And this is a sense. I'm going to give it as a sense first so whoever's listening can write it down later after the show and re-listen or whatever. But the question I asked myself years ago was, what must I do to love, live, and die completely without regret? I want to say that again. I'm going to challenge everyone listening here as well, my brothers out there, whatever age you are. What must you do to love fully, to live fully, and to die fully without regret? Now, you can take that question in a superficial way and throw it off and it's too deep, or you could sit with it truly and not just respond from within with the first thing. But I would actually, and this is one of the things I learned from my mentors, is to take this question away from the noise around you. There's so much bombardment of noise and internet and music and TV and entertainment and friends and work and family and the ongoing barrage of things that are drawing attention and your presence and your awareness into many other things. The key that I've found is move away, go to a park, go camping by yourself for 2-3 days, go on some vacation if you can, but don't vacate. Enter a place where you can be in isolation with nature. The frequency, the transmission of nature is what we actually are. And when we take ourselves away for minimum 2-3 days, and what I learned was to shut off all electronics, everything. That vibration is helpful, and we're jamming this way, we're enjoying this because of electronics. So there is a profound value, but there's also another signal that we don't get to hear much, or that's assuaged by distraction, but comes back to its full sound and volume when we go 2-3 days by ourselves in nature with good food, good water, and with a loving attitude that I'm doing this from my own retreat, my own solace. I consider this a warrior sage solitude experience. And then when I go out into nature and I ask myself, what must I do to love, to live, and to die completely without regret, what happens is the answer comes. It actually comes. And I've never seen anyone fail this, ever. But it takes the discipline and the willingness to get out of the world of noise and distraction. And that you got to find the impetus for. That you got to find the discipline and the willingness to go, I'm ready for something new. I'm ready for whatever my next endeavor, my next evolution is. And be loyal to that. And when you're not loyal to it, here's what happens. You get more distracted. You get more drawn into the world of addictions. You get more drawn into the world of apathy and feeling you're not in the right groove. And then that just spirals downward. But the moment you go to Mother Nature and you surrender to that in quietude, You ask this sacred question that every warrior, every sage has asked themselves through time immemorial in some way or another. What must I do to love, live, and die completely without regret? Bring a notebook. Don't bring any reading materials. None. No headphones, no listening of motivational speeches. Just the grace, the silence, and the energy of nature. That answer will come clearly. It may be verbal for some of you. Write it down. It may be a feeling, an intuition, an imagery may come up. Hey, go volunteer with these people. I've never volunteered with teenagers before. Why would that? I've never volunteered for seniors before. Whatever is there, it's a message from your inner being. Follow that. It may not be the last thing that you're meant to do, may not be the final, penultimate form of it, but taking that little opportunity to be loyal to the response that comes inside will lead you to the next step, will lead you to the next step, will lead you to the next step. That's the key that I have found for myself, is to listen to the voice, my voice, outside of the distraction of everyday life in the sanctuary of nature.
Beautiful. Well, as you were speaking, a few things came up for me. The first thing that came up for me was this question that you've repeated multiple times. And please, listeners, I hope you're writing this down, because I can't tell you how valuable this question is, how much gold is just in holding that question. As you brought that question up multiple times, what I was seeing in my own vision was taking this question, and it's almost like kneading the question like you would knead dough as you are getting ready to make the loaf of bread. And you knead it and you knead it and you knead it until it's ready to rise, until the answer is ready to rise. And so that's the first thing I want to say. And the second thing I want to say is, as you were talking about the downward spiral, I would add that what comes in the downward spiral can also be disease and depression. And a lot of men on the planet are suffering in many ways around distraction, disease, and depression. So when we come back from the break, we're going to dive in a little bit further about how to move out of depression and into creation. And also, I want to talk a little bit about relationship with you, Sachin, because I feel like you are one of those people on the planet who's really figured out how to make that work. So we'll be back in just a few moments with Sachin Raja.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com, or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with my special guest, Sachin Raja, and he has given us a beautiful golden seed question to be working with throughout the rest of our lives. So men on purpose who are listening, please, please take this question with the sacredness with which it has been delivered, because it's one of those questions that can be worked in your life from now until the end. And will continue to bear fruit and will continue to give you the capacity to navigate, especially when things become unclear, especially when things become chaotic. So Sachin, I'd love to talk to you now about one of the things that you were very adamant about there in that last segment was spending time in nature. And I absolutely 100% agree with you that when we shut down, in my tradition, we call it stopping the world. When we stop the world, that is when we are most capable of receiving what our right best next step is. So now let's say we have come out of this quest. Now, what is it that you do to move forward taking those steps? What is it that inspires you to come out of a quest like this and actually engage in the inspired action? And what keeps you moving forward as you begin the creation process of your what's next?
These are very powerful, direct, and pragmatic questions. I love them. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
So I get the calling. I'll give you an example from my life, okay? I've been giving seminars, as we did in the pre-talk here, for about 30 years now, and around the world, and I've given, I don't know how many, 1,000-plus seminars. So that's my comfort zone. I do it with excellence, and I put my whole heart and being into those who show up, and I do my best to make a difference. I did this, what I shared with everyone here. I took time away. I was feeling in my core, there's something new for me. I didn't have words for it, but I remembered one of my mentors. He mentioned to me that a man's purpose, anyone's purpose, is like those Russian or Ukrainian dolls, where there's an outer one. One time it was a big dream for me to be a Kung Fu teacher. I couldn't imagine it as a young man. And eventually I went through the hoops and the trials and the tribulations. And one day I realized I was a Kung Fu teacher. It was unbelievable. So that, and then I did years in that. And that came to a natural maturation where I felt that that was done and complete, and it took me 20 years. But then I did this very same question. I went off into the woods. I felt this calling of what could be next. I was quite honestly fearful that, you know, I have back then young children to take care of and my wife and you know, livelihood and all of that. How can I risk what I'm already great at? But by that time, I could do with my eyes closed. And I had the visual of this, there's something deeper. And so I went into the forest, I came back, and I went, yes, now I had to get into seminars. And one of my mentors challenged me. He says, okay, you're really good at martial arts. Now, this realm of relationship, because I have a very wonderful relationship with my wife, Suzanne, go start sharing that in the world. So I could share Kung Fu, but relationship is a whole different world, right? But I had to go to beginner again. This is the key I realized. The key I realized was I had to relinquish my expertise and become a beginner again. Because when you're done with that outer shell of that doll, then there's a next one. And then you have to live that fully. You can't do it half-assed. It has to be lived fully. You've got to put your whole effort, your intention, your consciousness, and bring it to a level of excellence and do it fully. And when that's done, could be a year, could be 6 months, could be 3 months, it could be 10 years. You never know. That will naturally come to its own completion, digestion, assimilation, and maturation. And then there'll be another one. So what I came to realize is that never ends for us. And I stopped trying to have it end to having it one day finally complete. I will find my purpose and mission. That is for me for the rest of my life. Bullshit. Doesn't happen. To the rate we are growing right now as individuals, the evolutionary pace that we're in right now as beings and collective individuals demands of us that we reconscript ourselves every few years. That's not a bad thing. What I say is embrace it. So what I did was I embraced that change just a few months ago. Went away and I went, okay, 30 years, my livelihood is based on this, all of this. What's next? Luckily, my children are more grown up enough. They're not as needing of financial security that I was able to provide earlier. They're in their 20s, so I'm fine now. So I got the calling that I'm meant to just focus on the leaders who are leading other leaders, leaders of leaders, and help them become world-level change artists. Because I really feel right now it's a time on our planet where those who have the gifts to give, we need to bring ourselves to our fullest to turn around the fate of this world from possible disaster into ultimately a place that's good for all beings, you know? Mm. And we're heading that way, but we need to be a little bit more on that path. So that's the message I got. And I have to tell you, it was scary. It was scary because my team went, well, how come you're not scheduling any seminars? Shouldn't we put them up on the schedule, plan out the dates in advance, set up all the mark, all of the stuff that you'd have to do to build a business? And we all said, let it go. Mm. And it was in that, again, trust, value, and loyalty to that inner calling when I said, no, we're going to do this. Then miraculously, other opportunities to work with world-leading change makers have come up. They just showed up because I had the space away from my regular routine. I let go of my naturalness to fill everything up with all these things. I had to let that go. And in the void came my next calling and the next opportunities. And I suspect it's going to be the same for everyone here. It's the loyalty to the feeling, the removing yourself from the noise that keeps you from feeling the feeling, and then honoring the feeling with concerted actions in the marketplace of life without recoil. That's going to take getting together with other good brothers around you, getting together with other good sisters who have reflection and feedback like you do, and inspiration and light, and phenomenal, profound intuition, getting together with other brothers who can give you honest, clear, non-bullshit reflection and advice, and perhaps a stern challenge if need be, and perhaps a hug and an act of love saying you're on the right track. But having this circle of men and women who are your peers, as well as your elders, finding coaches, guides, mentors to help that process along, I feel is fundamental to us, especially now more than ever. So that's the essence.
Delicious. Well, I want to close our show today with this whole Russian doll thing. I totally agree with you, and I've lived it myself multiple times now. And I would agree with you that we are in such rapid evolutionary times that we have to be very, very willing to be like, oh, that's done. Oh, that's done. Oh, that's done. And surrender and step, surrender and step, surrender and step into that next expression that we're being asked to be the vessels for delivering that into the marketplace of life. I loved that phrase too. And what I've noticed in my own life is, you know, the 20 plus years of being a Kung Fu master, even though that identity has fallen away, and the 35 plus years of being in this realm of working with people around relationship, even though that's falling away, it's been fully digested and integrated and become an essential part of who you are moving forward as well. So every now and then I find in my own life that there's a spiraling back into and a sourcing from the me I once was, and bringing that forward and a marrying it into the me I am now and the me I am becoming. So I want to actually dive in for our final question with you around the relationship, not only, and you can use it, the marriage that you have with your beautiful bride as the example if you'd like, or however you want to take this question, wherever you want to take this question, but the relationship that you see moving forward from here, men on purpose must cultivate with women of purpose as well.
Absolutely. Well, my lovely wife, Suzanne, she's a leader of leaders as well. She guides very powerful women to reclaim and to magnify the fullness of their power and their reach without sacrificing their health, their vitality, their relationships, and just quite remarkable with that. And what I've come to realize and recognize is that we're one, and that we can't have masculine without feminine. We can't have male without female. That there is no higher sex, male or female or masculine, feminine. That these are forces within us, both profound, magical, fruitful forces within us. And us as men would be well served embracing our feminine and upping our embrace of the feminine around us, loving our mothers even deeper, alive or passed on, seeing elder women beyond us as mothers, as aunts, and having that reverence. Women of our same age, looking at them as sisters, unless they're your lover, but looking at them as sisters and comrades and co-creative, passionate beings, and honoring their beauty, honoring their femininity, honoring their juiciness, their sexiness, their light. And what I've been sharing is with younger women, don't look at them as sexual objects. Start transferring the animal body and see them as, like, for example, as daughters, as nieces. Taking for me, now that I'm in my 50s, looking at that generation and honoring them for that beauty that they have as young maidens coming into the life. This loving respect and embrace of the feminine within and the beautiful ladies in the world, it's essential right now. We know because of all this Me Too hashtag movement that we need to really up level our divine respect. And I feel those of us at the top, we're not animals just looking at women like that. Those of us who are a little further ahead in the maturation path, let's up level it too. Let's not point fingers at all the bullshit that's happened. Let's become even greater examples of the embrace, the honoring, and the love of the feminine within, which to me, what's a feminine within? It's the feeling, number one, of nature. Nature is the mother, right? Loving our nature. If we have businesses, we have work, how can we have it so that it contributes to the synergistic up-leveling of this planet? Aim to have that lofty intention. If you're not lofty yet, aim to move that way. Aim to have your embrace even wider, more than just my own needs and wants. We're never going to be ultimately perhaps some Gandhi or some world-changing human, but why not? Why not? Why can't we do that now? Why can't we do it in our own unique way? So for me, relationship with the goddess is the essential essence of reality. The goddess metaphysically to me is the universe itself of light. All experiences, images, thoughts, emotions, body sensations, colors, taste, anything I can assimilate through the senses is the goddess herself. Myself, the witness, the consciousness, the entity known as self here, is the enjoyer, the one who's interacting, marrying, becoming one with this universe of form. Sounds metaphysical, but really it's the love affair between self and reality. Practically, how does it show up? Well, with my wife and with all of you who have partners in your life, what can you do instead of asking them all the time, instead of seeing them just as your equals? That's one step. How about going to the next level and seeing how can you serve the evolution of your goddess, whether it's your sister, your lover, your mother, your daughter, how can you serve her evolution so that she can become the greatest, brightest free being without fear? Who can I be to hold the space of sanctity, power, clarity, and how can I make it so that women and goddesses can feel safe around me and still be in my masculine power? That's the key. I don't think there's an answer. I think it's a journey and an intention to want to have, and the desire to have that will start showing us what to do. And then ask good women like you. Ask the women who are good, who are conscious, how can I be of greater response to the need of the feminine in this era? It's imperative right now, not just for our relationships and our own personal life, it's imperative for the world.
Agreed. And I want to emphasize here that as you call men forth to serve the evolution of the feminine, the serving of the evolution of the feminine is serving them.
Of course.
You know, because we are all one. So as we choose to, you know, in my case, I'm choosing right now very vigorously to serve the divine masculine and very vigorously to celebrate and elevate and spotlight those men that I feel are on purpose. And in serving them and their evolution, I'm serving myself. So I want to just kind of bring that to closure so that everyone recognizes it's not about masculine and feminine, and it's not about elevating one over the other, and it's not about even equality. Like, I've started to use the word parity instead of equality. It's really about when we choose to be in service and be loyal, we are serving ourselves ultimately at the end of the day. So I am so, so grateful for the time that you've given to us today, Sachin. It's been really powerful and really beautiful and really inspiring, and my heart is full and I'm just beyond grateful. And I'd love to let people know where they can find out more about you and what you are evolving into now, particularly those who are listening, who are leading men, who are high-level executives, who are called to be change makers in the world, who are looking for that guide, that mentor, that sage behind the scenes to have as a confidant. We can find out more, you men on purpose who are listening, you can find out more about Sachin at warriorsage.com. And I'd love to have you just drop into the space one final piece of guidance that you might have for our listeners.
Own who you are. love and accept who you are as a man with all your greatnesses, all your gray zones, all your dark zones. Love and accept who you are. And today, once again, ask yourself and do it today. What must I do today to love fully? Me, I need to make a call to my daughter who hasn't talked to me in a couple of days. I'm going to have to, that's one thing I need to do to love fully. What must I do today to live fully? It's my parents' last day visiting from Toronto here in Vancouver. I'm going to spend the day giving them joy and love from their eldest son. What must I do to die complete? I need to share what I did today with you. There's an element I know I need to share with my son, who is a young man, and there's a part that I went, okay, I'm going to remind him of that through my demonstration, as well as through a loving nudge. That was my answer to what must I do to love, live, and die complete. What is yours? Don't go to bed until you've done those three. And I assure you, a whole new level of well-being and alignment is going to happen for you. And self-love.
Beautiful. Again, it's been an infinite pleasure to have you on the show, Satyen. And I'm personally going to take this question and knead it like a loaf of bread moving forward from here. I feel incredibly gifted that you've given us this time today. And thank you so much. Tune in again for our next episode of the Men on Purpose podcast. I'm looking forward to comments and feedback, and please rate us and review us on iTunes. Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning in, and have a fantastic Men on Purpose Day.
An honor.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on iTunes and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows that now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.